star above knows the one I love, Sweet Sue, Sweet Sue. And that moon up high knows the reason why, Sweet Sue, just you.
I'm Dave Lewis. The city of Piqua, Ohio, is about 83 miles due north of Cincinnati up I-75. I have been through Piqua countless times, especially when I lived in Michigan and traveled to Cincinnati to visit friends and family. In recent years, they've taken down the big sign alongside the freeway that read, "Piqua, the heart of it all." I never learned what it was, and I guess whatever it was, Piqua is no longer the heart of it. I've only recently seen what's inside Piqua. Had I been able to visit around 1920, I would have noted a thriving theater scene, the northern tip of an entertainment circuit that ran from Piqua to Covington, Kentucky, and serviced by interurban streetcars. Back then, Piqua also had its own automobile manufacturing plant, the Meteor Motor Car Company, and even a record label called Meteor, sold as an accessory to Meteor phonographs. Today, only 0.02% of the population in Piqua is African American, though the neighborhood of Rossville is within the city limits and was founded in the 1840s by freedmen from Virginia. In 1920, downtown Piqua had a black barbershop run by a fellow named Arthur Smith that employed a haircutter named John Mills, born in 1889. By the early 1920s, Mills had 7 children to support, and as a sideline, he sang in a barbershop quartet led by Mr. Smith called the Four Kings of Harmony. As they grew into their teens, his sons, John Jr., Harry, Donald, and Herbert, sang with the church choir at the Cyrene AME Church in Piqua and formed a barbershop quartet themselves. They performed at picnics, ice cream socials, supper clubs, and house parties, and in movie theaters throughout Ohio and Indiana in the mid-1920s. Early on, the Mills were billed as 4 boys and a kazoo, but one day, Harry discovered that he'd lost his kazoo and instead cupped his hands over his mouth and imitated it. The crowd went nuts, and soon all 4 of them adopted this technique, imitating the instruments in a jazz band. This was a major innovation, but it was not the only one the Mills brothers developed. At some point, John Jr., in order to incorporate some kind of instrument into their act, began to play the ukulele, as some white vocal groups did on radio in the 1920s. But later, John Jr. switched to guitar. It was a natural progression, but no one else had thought of that before. The standard for vocal groups of that time was either to perform a cappella or to use a piano. The Mills Brothers, billed as 4 boys and a guitar, and sometimes the Steamboat 4, made their radio debut on Cincinnati's WSAI on February 9, 1927, and moved to WLW in 1928. Once on WLW, the Mills Brothers' audience grew exponentially owing to WLW's considerable signal strength and reach. Listeners took note of their innovative approach to group harmony. While scat singing had been around since the pre-war days of vaudeville, the Mills Brothers actually imitated the sound of musical instruments in a new way that eventually became known as vocalese.
Hold that tiger, 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 hold that tiger. Where's that tiger? Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger. Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger. Where's that tiger?
Old Zula man is feeling blue. If his heart beat a little tattoo. Digga digga doo digga doo doo. Digga digga doo digga doo. You love me and I love you, and when you love it is natural too. Digga digga doo digga doo doo. Digga digga doo digga doo. I'm so very digga digga doo by nature. If you don't say digga digga doo, you're made. You're gonna lose a papa, so let those funny people smile. How can they be a virgin isle? Well, digga digga doo digga doo doo. Digga digga doo.
What followed the Mills brothers' departure from Cincinnati were years of unqualified success, hit songs, and the group prospering even as the Great Depression raged around them. The Mills appeared before the King and Queen of England in 1934 and were reputedly the first African-American singing group to do so. While in England, John Jr. contracted pneumonia, and they headed back to the United States for him to recuperate. He was not fully well when they returned, and John Jr. died suddenly in London on January the 23rd, 1936. For the others, this was the end of the group. John Jr. had been their leader, had done their arrangements, and played the guitar. How could they go on without him? Their mother, Ethel, stepped in and indicated that John Jr. would have wanted them to continue, and she suggested John Jr.'s replacement, John Sr. This didn't sit well with the other three. While Dad Mills had been proud of his sons, at times he had been a little critical in the wrong way, and perhaps a bit jealous of their success. They also must have wondered why their mom was sticking up for him, as she'd been divorced from their dad for years. Nevertheless, the Mills brothers decided to yield to their mother's wishes, and John Mills Sr. joined the group. At this point, the Mills brothers brought in an extra player to cover the guitar part. Dad Mills was certainly not above pulling rank on his sons in musical decisions, something that ruffled their feathers considerably. Also, with John Sr. in the group, they moved from the frantic improvisations coordinated by John Jr. into a more laid-back, homogeneous sound that was not as adventurous as before. But when we Americans think of the Mills brothers in our minds, what we hear is the group with John Sr. in it, that particular sound.
I'm gonna buy a paper doll that I can call my own. A doll that other fellows cannot steal. And then the flirty, flirty guys with their flirty, flirty eyes will have to flirt with dollies that are real. When I come home at night, she will be waiting. She'll be the truest doll in all this world. I'd rather have a paper doll to call my own than have a fairy.
John Sr.'s connections and knowledge of material helped the Mills brothers to achieve their career high. One musician John Sr. knew back in Ohio was Hamilton-based composer Johnny S. Black. Black was beaten to death in the parking lot of his Hamilton night spot back in 1936. And perhaps it was to help his family that the Mills brothers elected to record his obscure composition Paper Doll as a single B-side in 1943. The song had been written about 1915, but wasn't published until later, and very few artists had ever tried it. The A-side of this record hit, as was expected, but one DJ flipped the record over, and as a result, the Mills brothers enjoyed the biggest hit they'd ever know out of the 71 that they had. The Mills brothers continued to have hits into the late 1960s, but by 1957, John Sr. was approaching 70 years of age and decided to retire, and he died in 1967. The others continued on the oldie circuit, but slowly died off. Harry Mills in 1982, and then Herbert in 1989. This left Donald Mills as the only surviving member of the Mills brothers, though his son John joined him in forming yet another edition of the Mills brothers. In 1998, Donald Mills accepted a Lifetime Achievement Award given to the Mills brothers by the Grammys and died the following year. Nevertheless, there is still a Mills brothers performing yet today, featuring Donald's son John and singer Elmer Hopper, a veteran of the Platters. According to the Piqua Public Library, the Mills brothers made 1,263 recordings. I don't know what their criteria is, whether recordings mean singles, albums, tracks, radio dates, or what have you. But that impressive number is as good as any that I know. And what got this all underway was floating in the airwaves right here in Cincinnati nearly 70 years ago. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Dave Lewis.
Throw a little low and turn the key on. You are equipped with taillight and neon. You've got a cute fast pocket Mazda, which you can make both slow and fast. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so.